Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A warm welcome to all of you on this wonderful Sunday morning. It's brilliant sunshine, we had lovely rain, and to all of you, whether it's via the audio stream, Mediwave 1548, DSTV 826, and Satellite Islam, and some of the younger people listening to us on any other device, and yes, so we'd love you to join our conversation this morning. Number to dial 852-1548, the number 854-1548, and Muhammad waiting in the wings to take your calls as well. We've got a brilliant and wonderful guest this morning, and she's going to take us something that we certainly slightly different but very, very informative. And that's Debbie Smith from Lifestyle College. Hi, good morning, Debbie.
Morning, how are you today?
Very well, thank you. You know, you've come in with something very interesting. Tell us a little bit about your background and where you are at the moment and what you're doing currently.
Well, I'm actually a landscape designer. I'm designing a landscape garden. I'm a horticulturist, and I've been in this industry for about 30 years. But aside from the fact that I do people's gardens for a living, I also lecture. I'm in fact head of faculty of horticulture at the Lifestyle College in Van Park Ridge, which is at Lifestyle Nursery.
Thank you very much, and that's what we're going to be chatting about. You know, your work at Lifestyle College, and you know, being a senior lecturer. Now, before we go on, you know, I want you to touch on a number of aspects about the college and what you are going to be doing. But I thought we'd just chat about the weather. You know, we've had the extremities of weather. You know, we've had cold, hot, cold, and seems to be settling down. Has it been raining on your part of the world yesterday?
Yesterday we had lovely afternoon rain. It started off quite slowly, just with a couple of those big, fat, lazy drops of rain, if you know what I mean, and then settled into a nice shower, a nice afternoon shower in the late afternoon, which was so welcome after the heat that we've been having these past few days.
But while, you know, we spoke about the rain, and I'm looking around, and, you know, you still find the ground is very parched, you know. When you just dig a little bit below that surface, you still find we haven't had that penetrating rain as yet. Is it the same elsewhere?
I think that we're kind of all talking about much the same thing at the moment. You know, in winter we had this relatively cold winter this year, colder than we've had the last few years, which is always wonderful because it gets rid of pests and diseases. But our rain seems to be coming a bit later than normal this year. And so we found that we've had these very, very hot, dry spells, which are really hard on the gardens, you know. I think that water is scarce. We don't all want to use water because it's become expensive, and we're constantly saving it. We live in a water-scarce country, but our gardens are really crying for water at the moment. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this yourself. You can water and water and water your garden, but the rain seems to have this magical effect that turns everything wonderful and green and lush almost overnight, and I think it's got to do with all the natural gases and the nitrogen and things that come down with the rain when it actually does rain.
It's so true, you know, sometimes you give copious amounts of rain, it doesn't have the same amount, the same effect as a little bit, just a tiny wee bit of a shower, and you find, wow, you know, it's a miraculous change, and you get that lush, deep green. Like you said, no matter how much you water, and yet when you find what nature comes in, you have all this, you know, nutrients and the nitrogen, and definitely makes a wonderful impact on the garden.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, rain is obviously Mother Nature's cure-all, isn't it? I think that's just the way that it was intended to be.
No, thank you very much for that. Now, Debbie, you know, when we talk about all of this, and, you know, when we look at trends both nationally and internationally, that we find that gardening is becoming the fastest growing hobby in the world, and that's some of the stats that have come through. But while saying that, you know, it's becoming the fastest, what is also of concern is that we're not attracting younger people. It seems to be people in the 30s and above that seems that come into. Is that a trend that you find at the garden centre as well? When you look at people coming to shopping and buying things for the garden, is it very young people or is it elderly people?
You know, I think that a lot of the people are more mature, like you say, and that's a little bit of a concern, you know. I think people start coming into their own and wanting to garden probably when they're maybe newly married or starting off in their first home. And it's quite a sad thing that they never come into contact with gardens before that, because gardening is quite an expensive thing to do these days. And, you know, a lot of people will walk into the garden center and just buy things randomly and at will and go home and put them in their gardens, and then they die off. And it's quite an expensive way to waste money. So my thinking always is that if we started learning to garden when we were a bit younger and we embraced it as a kind of hobby. First of all, you can get this wonderful outdoor activity. As South Africans, most of us like to spend time outdoors, so you can get a little bit of exercise in. You can actually spend time in the great outdoors, and at the same time, you can actually be learning a skill that will stand you instead probably for the rest of your life, whether it's growing vegetables or planting a flower garden or just embracing the side effects of nature in a garden. We can do all of that in a garden, and it doesn't have to be something that we start doing in our mid-30s. I think that in fact, if you ask me, I think that gardening should almost become like a mandatory course at schools, that we should start learning the skill at a young age, because it will allow us to ensure food security for ourselves, to ensure environmental security for ourselves. And these are all issues that are at the forefront at the moment.
You know, you've highlighted so many of these things, but you know, it brought a smile to my face when you said, when you see people coming into a garden center, and I must say sometimes it's like, you know, getting to a toy shop and people come in for the first time, wow, and they see all this beautiful range of things, especially now in midsummer, and they come and they load their trolleys, wow, load, and you come, lo and behold, they pay for everything, like you said, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, all these things have died upon them in their gardens.
And it's so sad, you know. First of all, plants are living things and you wouldn't wish them to die. But aside from that, I feel sorry for these people who come in and who aren't very clear up, and they make these rather expensive mistakes.
Yeah, no, sure. And then and the other thing is, you know, if you don't have a clue, then you don't know where to buy, what to plant, where to plant, when to plant. And and like you said, you know, it's an expensive mistake. And I think that's where the challenges abound. Now, having said all of that, you know, Debbie, you are in this very specific space where you train people and you get people to come in and you know, get involved into, you know, some aspects of gardening, horticulture, whatever the case may be. Now, do you find younger people coming, or is it still the older ones?
No, well, now this is a very interesting factor, because at the college, and I've been there probably for about 18, 19 years now, I've been lecturing there. And when I first started lecturing in the early days, we found that our lectures often happened in a week, and it was a largely female audience, and probably in their 30s to 50s kind of range. But what we've found over the years is that it's evolved a little bit. We offer both part-time and full-time courses. The full-time courses are often younger people, because we have a lot of post-matric coming in, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you a little bit later on for matriculants that are maybe looking at making decisions about what they want to do for next year. But our part-time courses often have a more mature audience. So we get a good mix, and these days I find that the audience is not so heavily stacked on the female side. We have a very comfortable mix of male and female students that come to our classes, and that's really wonderful, because gardening isn't just a man's job or just a woman's job. I think that it's something that all ages and all genders can do.
You know, having spoken about that, you know, I'm not too sure, but you know, like with cooking, you know, food and so forth, the food industry has, you know, grown exponentially because of the exposure that you have, you know, via the smartphones, television, so forth.
Yeah.
So people see coming in there and say, wow, this is what I want you to do. And even with fashion, so you find that lots of things are happening because there's that cross-pollination, and people are seeing things in different mediums, using it, and say, wow, this is a space I want to be in. Do you think that's a similar effect that we have with the garden industry or the horticulture, where people are now coming in because they see, and like you said, they don't just see one gender, they see both male, female, they see young, they see old. So, well, that's the space I want to be in. Do you think that's happening?
I think that it's starting to happen that way. And I also think what's happening globally at the moment is that people, there's a greater consciousness of green or of the environment. And I think that something that's important for us to bear in mind is, you know, many of our children, I've got a son at university at the moment, but our children are going to be doing jobs that we've never even heard of, that are kind of still evolving. But I also think that in years to come, with the crisis that we've got in terms of global warming and food security, that people who are green or green aware or is able to do some kind of green job are going to become highly employable, because they're going to start needing those kind of skills, not just the skills in IT and communications and things that are running at the moment. I think that green engineers and gardeners and landscape designers and farmers are actually going to become very important people in years to come, because we're going to have to find a way of controlling our climate control, our environmental pollution, and all of that that goes with it. Gardening is a wonderful way to start learning that very skill.
You know, you've touched on so many of these. These are such critical, points that we need to, discuss. And but unfortunately, we can't do it on this particular program. But I think these are important things because, like you said, your son may be at university, and the jobs that they're going to get now haven't even sort of been come to the fore yet. You know, they're still evolving. But at the same time, I must say to you that if you look at something like gardening, it has been with us from the time we've come, it's been there all the time. Man is always looking to, for food and food security and so forth. And it is something that is not going to disappear. It's not going to be like a skill that was sort of valuable 50 years and you don't. You need still, because we still need to eat, we still need to get aesthetics around us. We need all of those things. And you'd need people to be skilled in that. So it's not just about getting into a garden and digging up and say, let me also say, Debbie, I know some people are just born with green fingers. No matter what they do, they can just get it right. But I think not all of us do that.
Some people maybe have got greener fingers because they have a deeper interest and maybe they're a little bit more observant. But I think that green fingers can be learned. The beauty about horticulture is that it's an art and it's a skill. We talk about, when we talk in the classes, we talk about it being an art and a science, because as much as the art is in putting the plants together so that they look beautiful, the science is in understanding the soil, it's in understanding the fertilizer, how the plants actually work. And if you can understand all of that, if you can understand the pests and diseases that go with it, then you've got a very good shot at making your garden look beautiful.
And again, we're talking about trends. When I looked at, look at trends coming from Chelsea for the past couple of years. I mean, each one of, every time they come in, it's about this greening element about it. It's about the control of the environment, how you bring that match together. It's not about destroying the insects, but how do you live harmoniously in that particular space. And having said all of that, food security is very high. It's been there for the last couple of years in South Africa. I think as recent as about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had the scare about pesticides. So people want to know what they're ingesting, because we have lots of people who have, are not very well, ailments and so forth. So I think these are sort of contributing factors why people should get into the garden.
I think they're huge contributing factors. And actually, as a college, we try and promote organic and green gardening as far as we can, because it is about being able to live in harmony with our fellow creatures. Everything that's on this earth, we put here for a purpose. And sometimes they might be eating our plants, which doesn't suit us, but actually they're just surviving. And it's a known fact that the food that our grandparents kind of ate 30 to 50 years ago was more nutritious than the food that we eat right now, and it's been directly linked to all the chemicals and the pesticides and herbicides and things that we actually use in our grand-scale farming. So from my own personal point of view, I have a vegetable garden at home. It's not an enormous vegetable garden, but it feeds my family of four, and it also feeds all of my staff. And the deal that my staff and I have with one another is that I provide the space and the resources in terms of providing seed and seedlings and water and things like that. But everybody looks after the garden. And so it becomes like a communal effort. And the other thing that comes out of that is this sense of pride and community for all of us, because it's in all of our best interests to look after it. And if you look at places like the UK where they have these allotment garden systems going, I think that we could do so much for our less privileged communities if we started working on these allotment garden systems. I think aside from the fact that it would promote the sense of community, it also, if you're creating somebody with something with somebody in terms of a garden, how can you then want to go out and steal from him or hurt him or harm him? So I think it would probably help in terms of bringing down crime statistics and things like that. And it's a reality in this country that we all live with.
That it's such an important point. And the allotments, I remember, I think Second World, I'm not sure which particular time in the history of, but it was either World War One or Two, where eventually, they got this allotments, and everybody contributed to this, to the space. And like you said, in South Africa, we have lots of space where lots of goodwill can be generated, where people can come together and look after the space and also look after each other. And I think, it's not just about gardening. I think there's so much spillover.
Oh, well, I think that's just it. I think that gardening can help us promote a sense of community. I was reading a thing on Facebook about a man in Heidelberg the other day who's given over his pavement. He's planted it under vegetable garden. For less privileged homeless people to come past and pick something to eat. And when he first did it, his neighbors and everybody kind of scoffed at him because they said, oh, people were just going to take advantage and completely steal everything and vandalize it. And the amazing thing is he says he's watched people come and they only ever take what they need. And in fact, many of them offer to come and help him maintain the garden in order to be able to earn a little bit of food. And that just shows that at heart, all of us, I think, are not bad people. We actually just want to be able to survive and eat and look after ourselves. And a vegetable garden can do that for you.
You know, that's so true, I think, about gardening. And I must say to you that over the years, you know, interacting with people, gardeners by their nature have a very big heart. They're always prepared to share. They're always prepared to give. I know that's just something I found when I spoke to people who are in the industry, people who I know do gardening, always willing to give over and give share. And that's a quality that comes through very regularly.
I think so. I think gardeners are big natured by heart. And I think you can't help but be big natured when you work with Mother Nature, who is big natured herself. She is very abundant. And I mean, if you pay respect to her, she'll reward you for that.
So you know, so that is all of that we can. And again, you know, the last point was about the health scare that we had, and everybody wants to know if I'm putting this lettuce in my mouth, where does it come from? What's its origins? You know, has it gone through a process? What was the process? But if I plant it, I know I plant, I've watered, I've nurtured it, and I've done all of that, and I've made sure that all of these things, the right elements were put in, and you know, I haven't put any pesticides, and I've had to, I've done this and that, and you know, perhaps some of us who may have had some, you know, exposure, a little bit of companion planting, a little bit of these things, stronger centered plants with others. So that would give a sense of, you know, this is what the way to go.
I think definitely that's the way to go. And in a world where finances are insecure and a lot of people are not sure, you know, if you grow your own. I always think that just in terms of my own, as I say, staff and that, I quite like the fact that they're able to get their cabbage and spinach and tomatoes in my garden, which saves them a little bit of money that can maybe go towards buying something extra for the kids or whatever. So I think that, the big focus is on the fact if you do it organically yourself and you know exactly what you've done, you know what poisons you have or haven't put into the garden. You know what you're putting into your mouth. When you go and you buy something that's been commercially grown, you don't have any control over the production process, and therefore you don't really know what you're eating at the end of the day.
Well, what's going to happen now, Debbie? We're going to go for a short break. When we come back, I want you to tell us about some of the courses that you have, some of the things that we can, young people can get involved in, and also not young people, just anyone who has any keen interest. So we're going to go for a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Stay tuned.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Ismail Viava. Program Dare to Be Different, and we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that's Debbie Smith from the college. So whether you're listening to us via the audio streaming, Midway 1548 Satellite Islam, and on the audio streaming, if you have any queries, any questions, remember the number to dial this morning is 854-1548. And Deb is going to take us through some of the wonderful courses that are available and also tell us who it's aimed at. Hi, good morning, Debbie.
Hi, Ismail.
You know, whilst we're talking about all this, something ran through my mind saying, but how do we get to, you know, make people understand that, you know, courses are not just only for all young or for old, but there's a mix. Tell us about some of this and how would you get that right?
Well, you know, the thing is, what we offer at Lifestyle College is adult education. And really, when you leave matric, you're entering into the next phase of your career, which is basically adult education. When you go off to any kind of tertiary learning institution, you're starting to learn as an adult, not as a child. And the onus becomes on you to kind of get involved in your course and do it. But I think the other thing that we've experienced at the college is not just young people are looking for careers. We're finding many more mature people are reaching a point where they're looking for a career change. And so often we find that our classes have an interesting mix of people that kind of start at around about 18, 19, 20, and some of them are well into their 50s, 60s. We even had a man who was 86 years old once who came just because he wanted to keep himself kind of, I suppose, interested and active and growing. So some people will come and do these courses because they're looking at creating a career. Other people will come and do these courses because they're looking at enhancing a set of life skills or just because they're having fun. We've got one student who started his first course. It was a birthday gift from his wife. And he got so excited at the first course that he just carried on. And he's been doing it part-time for the last 3.5 years. And he's actually just about to start building a show garden, which is the culmination of your learning experience when you've completed all of the courses. I'm sure many of your listeners have actually been to Lifestyle over the years and had a look at the show gardens that are built every year. And those show gardens are designed and built by students from the college. And that's a wonderful experience for them to get involved in. They're specifically done by the design students at the college. Aside from the landscape design course, which we offer, you can do it either full-time or part-time, we also have a horticulture course, which is starting off this year. So for those people who are not so interested in the design and want to focus more on the plants and the horticulture aspect, we now have a full-time horticulture course opening up as well.
You know, when you speak about all of these courses and we speak about, you know, enhancing life skills and so forth, now we're going to talk about two different sets of, or two different groups of people. We have people who may, you know, wanting to upgrade life, change of career, whatever that may be. And then we have also people who are very young. Would they be able to, for example, I'm looking at a university student who, whilst at university, also wants to continue with his varsity studies, but also enhance his skill. Would that allow him to do that? Would there be courses that would allow him, you know, whilst he's studying at university, getting that set of skills, you could come to the college and get another set of skills, which would either be complementary or just something as out of interest?
Well, I think that if there was somebody who was studying and wanted to do a separate course, then ideally what we would recommend that they do is come and do some of the part-time courses which run on a Saturday. And those basically run almost as individual standalone modules. So what would happen is they book for a course, and most of them run kind of for 3 full days or 5 mornings or otherwise maybe 1 full day. So they could book themselves on a course and come and do it part-time on Saturdays if they didn't have the full time to study. Or alternatively, they could come in and then, you know, for those school leavers that are not planning to go to the university, who don't necessarily want to do that kind of thing, they could come in and do a full-time course, which would basically start in February next year and run for the year. And they would be at college every day.
So, you know, we have also a set of students who'd love to, you know, the term that they'd be using, this is take a gap year and then to find what they're really wanting to do. So this would be an ideal way for them to get into something, you know, while they're trying to find their own niche?
Oh, I think that it would be a really, really wonderful way to start. If you're not 100% certain, and I think many matriculants aren't very certain of what they want to be doing in life. So it's a lovely way if you are interested in the green field or you're looking at going further. It's a wonderful way of starting out your course. Come and do, it's a year, you know, and a year in the scheme of things is really not that much. I will tell you that it's quite hard work for a year. We give them a really, really in-depth course, and they come out with a qualification that is worth having. In actual fact, Lifestyle College is recognized in our industry. We have a lot of our industry people contacting us around this time of year every year, saying they're looking for young students who might want to come and do their internship, and, you know, they kind of take them from us. We find that, or they like the quality of student that comes out of our college.
You know, sorry, Debbie, about that. Now, when you talk about, you know, people coming out of there, do they just come out with a theoretical base, or do they have something practical? Do they get hands dirty? Do they come out there? Do they do those type of things? Or is it just more, you know, more paper stuff when you study, like you're doing life sciences at school, and you come back, it's an additional. And when you talk about young, I'm looking at young, and it may be listening to us this morning, say, oh, well, fine, this is another lifestyle science that we're going to do for another year. I don't think I'll be interested.
No, I don't think that you can look at it as that. They definitely do come out with a set of skills. If we were to first of all look at the horticulture course that is going to run this year, there will be, I've got the the list of the things they'll be doing, things like they'll start off with the history of horticulture, health and safety. There will be things like botany and pest control and things that come into it, but they have plant tutorials, which are practical lessons about gardens. They're going to have industry days, at least 10 industry days, where they go out into the industry, to other nurseries and facilities where production happens, so that they can see how it happens. And they have 30 days of plant practical. And part of that is that they will spend time physically working in lifestyle, getting their hands dirty. On the design course, we have the same thing, where they go out and they do on-site training and working in some of the in some of our industry allied trade, and then also they end up physically building the show garden. So they also spend a lot of time learning drawing skills and designing skills, which actually mean that they're not all, it's not all time spent behind a book. Book learning is important, but practical learning is also important, and I think that's what the industry has come to enjoy about our particular college, is that we have a combination of both book learning and practical learning. And the other thing that's very interesting about the college is that all of the lecturers at the college are not full-time lecturers. One of the requirements to be a lecturer at the college is that you have to be actively working in the industry, because we believe that the people that will best teach you are the people that are out there working, and you learn from our experience, not just from what we found online or we found in a book.
Now, Debbie, and, you know, it seems fascinating when you listen to all of this happening, and I suppose they take into account both national and international trends, what's happening, and coming back to share that with their students.
Yes, definitely. And a lot of us, our lecturers travel quite frequently, and when they come back, there's often slideshows, and we show people what we've learned, et cetera, et cetera, so that we are aware of what's going on in the bigger scheme of things. I think that's one of the unique facilities of Lifestyle College, is that we have a diverse range of lecturers and people. We also sometimes bring in other people from within the industry to come and do guest talks and things like that, so that we can keep our students informed.
You know, I'm just going to go back one or two steps. Now, when we talk about courses, we talk about different types of courses and different durations of courses. So one of the courses we have is this, full one-year course that will take you through, you know, whether it's landscape designing or horticulture, whatever. That's a full-time course. So it takes you Monday to Friday, and that's the one course. And then you also have some what we'd call part-time courses. Now, part-time course would be perhaps things like design or food security, something like that. Tell us about some of the part-time courses.
Well, we have a number of what we refer to as standalone courses, and they'll include things like introduction to garden design. There'll also be for the more advanced students, we do some in AutoCAD. We have workers training courses, which are actually also quite nice. We have an irrigation design and installation course. We do lawn management. We do fruit and vegetable gardening. We do pruning. We do basic horticulture. So there are quite a few. And I think the best thing would be to phone the college and find out what's starting when and when you can book yourself up. Before I forget, I also just want to mention that we actually have an open day on the 26th of January next year. And we want to extend a welcome to anybody who's interested, who thinks that they might have an interest, either full-time or part-time, to come and actually have a look at the college, to meet the lecturers. We'll all be there on that day and see what we're all about.
You know, you mentioned a couple, because I'm just trying to pique the listeners' interest. So when you talk about, say, if you want to just do irrigation, there's a course for irrigation, which is a standalone course, or maybe fruit and vegetable garden, that's a standalone course, or, well, you know, maintenance, whatever the case may be. Now, these standalone courses, what's the duration? Is it a long period of time? Is it 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 months?
The standalone courses normally run on a Saturday, and most of them are a full day. Some of them are a morning, and they normally are either two or 3 days long. The vast majority are 3 days, but we have some like the lawn management and the pruning courses, which are basically a one-day intensive kind of workshop. The three-day courses, like the fruit and vegetable, will run on three consecutive Saturdays, And I think that they're good value for money.
So when you talk about all of these courses, and I do, you know, assume, when, especially when you talk about the part-time courses, these are very practical. So when you come out there, you come with a practical skill. So if you're going to start, I'm looking at perhaps the fruit and vegetable garden, because I know lots of people may be interested in that particular one. Would they have to come with a set of other skills before they come in, or would they have to go through any sort of screening, or is it just open to anybody who has an interest?
No, look, I think for the standalone courses, for the part-time courses, we would prefer that people who come and do the courses have a basic matric, because I think it makes it that much easier, because you've done your basic science and maths and things like that. And for the full-time courses, we definitely ask for a matric certificate. But, you know, a lot of people, by the time they've reached their more mature years, are kind of worldly-wise, and they've got a certain set of life skills, and I think as long as you've got those, you probably would be fine to come and do a course.
You know, a question coming through, you know, that I work and would love to do some of these part-time courses. Are they very strenuous?
Strenuous from the point of view that it's a full day in the classroom. It's normally from 9 until 4. And then obviously with some of them, not all of them will end up giving an assignment or a project. But they're not physically taxing if that's what you're meaning. And I think that they're informative. We try and keep them kind of on point and interesting. And I think that most people who do their management quite comfortably.
And once you do, you say these courses start around about February, would that be correct?
Yes, we normally start the new year. At the moment, this year's batch are full-time, and the part-time students who have gone through the system and have completed all the courses are actually really preparing and getting ready to start building show gardens. So in January, what happens is those students will start building show gardens, and a lot of the lecturers will be involved in guiding it and giving advice. So once show gardens are built, then normally in February we start running our full-time courses and our part-time courses. And that's normally in early February. And then, as I say, what we've done this year is also set aside the open day in the hopes that people can come in, they can have a look at the show garden that the students have built, they can visit the college, and they can see what we're all about and get more information.
Question coming through, you know, we've spoken all about these things. How costly are they, and, you know, are there bursaries and things like this?
Bursaries I can't really speak to you about, but I can give you prices for the full-time horticulture course, which runs from on a Monday to a Friday, as I say, full days. It's 30,000 rand for the year, excluding VAT, and you need to pay your deposit of 3,000 rand by the 31st of January, and there's a 12-month payment plan after that of 2,625 rand per month. And the same thing then goes for the full-time landscape design course. The part-time courses, or the standalone courses, the most expensive one that I've got on the list here is 2,500 rand. But you can also get an early bird booking fee. So if you book early enough in advance, then you can pay 1,500 rand instead of 2,500 rand, which is quite a big saving.
No, definitely, definitely. And I'm looking at, you know, again, students that I'm not too sure of, and many particulars are listening to us today. You know, they've just completed, many of them just have finished their last paper on Friday. And many of them may not yet, you know, fully decide what they want to do. But I think it's an important aspect is that there are opportunities out there. If you haven't made up your mind as yet and you're wanting to get into something, or you think, well, you have an inclination to do something like this, I think that these, and when we look at things going into the future, I mean, there's a wonderful opportunity to go into this greening industry, because it's a huge, huge industry. And I think, you know, governments, NGOs are now looking and saying, but this is an important and critical component of what we need as a society as we move into the future.
I think very much so. And these courses, whether it's the design course or the horticulture course, will offer entry into our industry at various fields, everything from going into the retail nursery industry to landscaping and designing to greenkeeping and turf management. to actually growing plants, to growing vegetables, I think that it opens a lot of doors for you when you have some kind of qualification behind you in this respect. And as I said to you earlier on in the program, that life psychology is well respected within the green industry in this country.
And having said all of that, I think even if it's not just about getting into the industry, it's about, you know, self-development. You are developing a skill for yourself, and if nothing else, you'd come up there and you'd understand your own space that you are. If you have a garden, you're wanting to garden, wherever you are. And you could also, you know, assist your people in your neighborhood. You could assist so many. So I'm looking at just not something to go out there and say you want to get into green industry, but also what you could do for your own community, for your own self. For whatever it is.
I think that's so important, you know. I think that's so very, very true that, yes, some people would want to have a career. Other people might want to be doing this as a hobby. And when we have a hobby that really, really interests us or kind of consumes us, it becomes a kind of escape. And I think that's quite important too in this day and age that we have something that we can escape to, that we can enjoy, that we can love. And also it's the kind of hobby that will allow you to share. You can incorporate your whole family, you can incorporate friends and relatives or the neighborhood or the community in what you do, and you can do it relatively easily.
Now, Debbie, could you perhaps direct us to a website, to some form of information that people could, you know, search for, you know, before they come in, and or if they're wanting to do certain, you know, just wanting to check exactly what is available and what would sort of interest them?
Well, the college web address is www.lifestylecollege.co.za. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you wanted to email, it's inquiries@lifestylecollege.co.za.
Let's go through that one again. So it's www.lifestylecollege.co.za. That would be the web address. Then you're both on Instagram and on Facebook.
Yes.
Okay, so that one, I suppose, if you're younger, definitely will be able to find it quite easily.
Yeah, I think the younger people often go there first these days.
Yes.
And if they wanted to email, it would be inquiries@lifestylecollege.
Oh, so it's also lifestylecollege.
.co.za, yes.
And
I'm sure that all of that information would be on the web address anyway if they wanted to go there first.
Now I know you could question people, but you know, many of us may not have been out there to see lifestyle and do not know where it is. Some pointers, indicators, I know, but for our listeners, where would we be situated? You're in Rand Park Ridge, is that correct?
We're in Rand Park Ridge on the corner of Esterhout and Bears North Deer Street. So if you were coming on the main N1 highway, you would take the Bears North Deer off ramp and turn away from the city as if you were heading out towards Honeydew, and you'll find us up there, as more dear, a bit further up on the corner of Esterhout. You can't miss Lifestyle. It's a very, very big nursery, very well known, almost landmark in this area. And I'm sure if you went into the main entrance and asked for the college, they'd direct you to where we are.
Come
on the 26th of January, because you'll be able to see what we're all about.
Just one quick question. So the college is situated in the nursery, is that correct? It's part of the nursery.
It's part of the nursery. It's right at the back of the nursery. And that also makes us unique, because most colleges are like on a college campus and you go there. And this is a most wonderful thing. We often have students saying that they just love being able to park at the nursery and then wander through the nursery before they come to class. That also is part of our hands-on practicality, because often we'll go out and do a practical in the nursery, or we'll say to students, go and find such and such a plant in the nursery, or get a bag of this fertilizer. And it's right there, it's hands-on, we can actually physically do it in the nursery while we're there. So it's a wonderful environment. Anybody who hasn't been to Lifestyle, it's also got lovely tea gardens and restaurants, so that you can actually really make an outing of it if you want to come through.
Just one last question with regards to the so the college is in there, and these courses, do they run through the week as well, or is it just a Saturday, the part-time courses?
No, well, the full-time courses run Monday to Friday every day. So if they sign up for a full-time course, they'll be required to be at the nursery, or at the college, I should say, every day, Monday to Friday, where they'll do their classes. And then the part-time courses obviously run on a Saturday.
You know, just one thing, just when you use the term classes, you know, people always move us very formal, you're getting there, and, you know, sort of type of thing. But I don't think that's, like we explained, it's a very informal environment because it's situated within the nursery.
Yes, look, I suppose you might call it a formal learning environment in that we have lectures and we do have classrooms and you sit down and you have your courses, but it's in this lovely informal environment, and when you have a tea break or a coffee break, you've got this wonderful environment that you can go out and explore and eat in.
Well, thank you very much. I must say, Debbie, I'm really fascinated by what can be done because, you know, these are opportunities that you don't always have, and now it is open to everybody to come in and learn some of the skills. So if not even to enhance yourself, but wanting to change your career, looking at something else, or just to wanting to get involved, I think that there's so many opportunities.
Well, there are, you know, and I think that's the beauty of this kind of industry, because there are so many opportunities. And we've tried very hard at the college to cater our learning for a range of people so that you don't have to come and feel like you're tied down to do go into a permanent job if you don't want to. But we found initially when we first started offering courses, they were part-time courses. And there were very many people who actually wanted to make it a more formal career-oriented thing, which is where the full-time courses came in. So we try and offer both to kind of meet everybody's needs.
Well, thank you very much, Jabby. I will chat to you again sometime in the future. But thank you very much. It's time for us to go for the news. And I know you've shared so much information. And we hope that some of the young people take up this opportunity. We'll chat to you again. You take care. Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Dad. Nice to meeting you.
Bye-bye. That was Debbie Smith from Lifestyle College telling us about the opportunities that you have if you want to train or want to get into the green field. It's not just wanting to get in there to enhance your own skills, but also to have a different career opportunity. Then that's a wonderful space to be in. It's all for me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Faisal Patel waiting to take us through the news. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.